All right, let's read beginning I'd like to read the whole chapter, but let's read verse 16 through the end of the chapter. Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him, or God, who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we all ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, let's pray together. Our holy, sovereign God, our King, our Creator, our Ruler, Provider, God, in whose hands our breath is and all our ways. We come, Lord, through Christ, the Beloved, believing we are accepted in the Beloved, believing that you hear us for his sake. We come in Christ. Lord, we come first of all as needy, broken sinners, repenting of our sins. Lord, we have sinned, and against thee and thee only have we sinned and done evil in thy sight. But God, you who are rich in mercy, for your great love wherewith you have loved us in Christ, we come to you believing our sins are forgiven. And we come asking of you various things. You know what we have need of before we ask. But, dear God, you have told us to come, make our request known. You've told us to come by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in everything. You've told us to ask, and so we come asking, we come requesting, we come with our petitions. And we know in our heads and believe in our hearts that your will be done. And we know not what your good and perfect will is in every case. We know that your essential will is to glorify yourself and for our good, our spiritual good, our eternal good. So that's why we know not what we should pray for or how to pray. As the disciples of old asked you to teach them to pray, even so we ask that you would teach us to pray. Give us hearts to pray. Give us the desire to pray. And Lord, let us pray in thy name according to thy will. We want your will to be done. Yea, we know it will be. But Lord, we must ask for those things that we earnestly desire, and we do earnestly desire that it may be your will. But we know not, so we leave these things in your hands where they are anyway. But we do come, Lord, asking for special grace. More than anything, we ask for that your grace would be sufficient for the hour, for the need. We know that it is, that you give more grace. You delight to show mercy and grace. We ask that you would give special grace to those who are undergoing trials that you sent. We know that you will surely give the grace, but yet we ask for it. And Lord, we ask, if it be thy will, that your healing, you would show your healing hand upon some. Again and again we pray for young Isaac, that you would raise him up to full strength and health for your glory.
We would give you all the glory. We thank you for guiding the physician's hands for Brother William. I ask that you would raise him up, give him many more years with us. Lord, we ask for your healing hand upon Darnell. Lord, give peace, give comfort in all of these things. And surely our comfort must be in knowing and believing that Thou art God, and that all these things are working together for our good, according to your unchangeable, all-wise purpose that you purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began for our salvation. Let that be our comfort in times like this. Nothing else, no one else can comfort. Let us realize that these things are from Thy hands, and that you're too good to do wrong, to do evil, too kind to be cruel, too merciful and gracious and tender and compassionate to give more than we're able to bear. So we take you at your word, and we ask that if this can be for your glory, that you would grant these requests of ours in and through Christ's name, for his glory and honor, for the good of your church. Lord, be with us tonight. Speak through your word. Make it a blessing. Make it a blessing. Exalt your Son in our midst. Again, we ask for forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to read a few verses here, and then we'll go over to the Old Testament for our study tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The title of the message tonight is Hadassah. Hadassah. Do you know what that means? Well, you will soon. Why this title? What does it mean? Well, I gave this title because to you it is given to know the title, or the mystery. Like the Word of God, which is hidden to the world, yet it's revealed to God's people. To you the veil has been removed. Look here at 2 Corinthians 3, verses 14 through 18. It says, some minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Or the veil is removed when you read the Old Testament scripture, and you see the glory of God in a person all through. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Hadassah is another name for Esther. Esther. Turn over to the book of Esther now. And I didn't make it up, and I didn't search in the concordance to find it. It's in the book of Esther, the word Hadassah. The book of Esther is right after Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Okay? Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. The book of Esther. Hadassah means Esther, which is our text. Many don't even believe that the book of Esther is the Word of God. Did you know that? Many people don't believe that. They don't believe it belongs in this book. Because it's not revealed to them, the book of Esther. Though the word salvation is not found in all the book of Esther, the word mercy is not there. The word grace, not one time. The word blood, nowhere to be found. The name of God is not in the book of Esther. Not once. But this is the most glorious, one of the most glorious gospel books in all of the Bible. It's going to be revealed to you tonight if it hadn't been already. You see, it's not revealed to the world. It's hidden. I believe God did that on purpose, Joe, that none of these things are in there. People just think it's a book of Jewish history. There's no clearer book of His story than the book of Esther. Like another book that I know that bears a woman's name. The only two books, Ruth and Esther. Perhaps my two favorites. Well, look here in the book of Esther. Let's read chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We're going to have to do a lot of reading, okay? But I'll try to make it within the allotted time. Now, it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. Now, this is Ahasuerus, or Artaxerxes is his name, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. Ahasuerus was the king. He was the most powerful king in all the world. Ahasuerus was sovereign over all the then known world. This was the king of the Medes and the Persians. This is the Persian king, the greatest ever to this point. Verse 2, in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, in the third year, verse 3, of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes. The power of Persia and the Mede, nobles and princes being before him. He made a feast to show his riches and his glory. Verse 4, he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, 180 days, a long time he dwelled in sovereignty and had a big feast to show it. This is a picture of our God who reigns and rules among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. He's the most, he is all-powerful. He reigns over all. He's sovereign. He's Lord over all. And he made everything for his glory, to show forth his riches and his glory. And he dwelled in his holiness and sovereignty before the world began. A long time he dwelled in his majesty, showing forth his riches and glory to none but the angels. All right, here's another person in this story. Look down at verse 10 and 11. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mahuman. Let's skip through these names. He commanded these seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king, with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. The king had chosen him a queen. He had made her queen. Kings are born king. queens are made queen by virtue of marriage, right? So she was made queen by the king. And she was made queen for the king's glory, for the king's honor, for the king's majesty, to show forth his majesty. She was beautiful to look at. And so one day he decreed that she was to be brought in to show her off for his own glory, for his own majesty, that the people might see his majesty. She refused. Look at verse 12. The queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment. Therefore the king was very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Down in verse 19, look down there. Other people observed what Vashti did, her rebellion. And they were fearful that her rebellion would cause other women to do the same. It said, verse 16, and Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and all the people and all the provinces of the king. Verse 18, the last line. Contempt and wrath will arise because of what she's done. She's not glorified the king. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, king? And this is a picture of Adam. Adam is represented by Vashti here, who was created for God's glory, made a prince, a ruler over this world for God's glory. And God commanded him to give glory to him, but Adam rebelled. And through Adam, all sin, all died. Contempt and anger. Children of wrath, that's us, even as others, like our father Adam, spread through all the human race. What's the king going to do? Look at verse 19. The king, if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him. Let it be written among the laws of the Persian and the Medes, in the law. Let it not be altered, that Vashti come no more before the king. Let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. So she was cast out. Vashti was cast out. And a replacement was called to be found. Better than she. Adam, like I said, created by God, for God, disobeyed God. And Adam was cast out of the garden. The first man was rejected until God found another better than he. A second Adam that would take his place. All right. A beauty pageant was held. Look at chapter 2. A beauty pageant was held in order to find this replacement for Vashti. And it took a long time because, look at chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Now, so they called all the maidens of the land to come before the king. Now, verse 12. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus after she had been 12 months, according to the manner of women, for purification, for so were the days of purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil and myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors and other things. Steve, you think Mary takes a long time to get ready? They spent 12 months trying to get Birdie for the king. But it wasn't good enough. Read on. Then came every maiden, verse 13, unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given to her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king. Anything she could do to make herself pretty, Just come before the king. She got it, verse 14. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, that she were called by name. So in other words, all of them went in, and all of them were rejected, hands down. All but one, that is. Look at this, verse 15. Now, in the turn of Hadassah, I didn't show you. Look at verse 7. He brought up Hadassah, that is Esther. That's her name. What does it mean?
I don't know. It's a secret.
It's a secret. I don't know. I don't even know what Esther means. That's a secret. So be it. But verse 15, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing.
She didn't need anything to make her beautiful. She was just naturally beautiful.
Read on. She required nothing from the keeper of the women. Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. She didn't need a thing to make her beautiful. She was just naturally beautiful. Well, since Adam fell, the best of men have come and gone, and all have been rejected. You better stay with me on this. You're going to miss a blessing. If you came empty tonight, you're going to get filled. If you open your mouth, God will fill it. I sat 6 inches off my chair preparing this. Stay with me, all right? It's going to require a little bit of attention on your part. You have to stay with the book. Stay with the book. That's all I'm going to do. Stay with the book. All right? Since Adam fell, the best of men have come and gone, and all rejected. None have been fair enough. None righteous. No, not one. Until Jesus Christ came. And He's altogether lovely in His person, everything about Him. None so fair as He, in whom God was well pleased. The Scripture says when He grew up, even. It says He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor of all, of God and man, the Scripture says. Esther was held in favor by everyone, especially, look at verse 17, verse 16. So Esther was taken in unto the king, into his house royal. Verse 17, the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. You don't need Jesus Christ's name in here. It speaks loud and clear, doesn't it? Huh? Esther was taken in by the king, loved above all others by the king, found grace and favor in sight of the king, the crown placed on her head, and made queen instead of Vashti. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. God hath made this same Jesus, both Lord and Christ, loved above all others, the beloved Son, who hath obtained favor and grace in the sight of God above all His fellows. Well, there's somebody else in this story. Look at chapter 3. There's a fellow named Haman. Chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now, after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Haman was made a prince and a ruler in the land. Haman was an evil man, though, and Haman hated Jews. He hated them. But the king promoted him. And he's a picture of Satan. Satan, who's called the prince of the power of the air. Satan, who's called the ruler of the darkness of this world. But he's so by God's promotion. God put him there. Why? to show forth His glory. Just wait and see. There's another fellow in this story. A little old miserable Jew named Mordecai. Look at verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. And the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. This little Jew named Mordecai absolutely refused to bow to this king. Read on. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, he didn't listen to them, hearken not unto them. And they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. He told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then Haman was full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. And they showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So, Haman hated Jews, and especially this one. So he decided he was going to have all the Jews killed. And God's elect, God's chosen, who Mordecai represent here, who are Jews, not outwardly, but inwardly. Spiritual believers who worship God, not the God of this world, but they worship God and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are enemies of Satan and objects of his wrath and hatred and objects of his scorn and objects of his assault. But Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, to the governors that were over every province, to the rulers of every people in every province, according to the writing thereof, every people after their language. In other words, everybody saw this law. It was in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, sealed with the king's ring. The letter was sent by post unto all the king's province to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. There's coming a day that all are going to be killed. All these Jews and taken spoil. Taken spoil. The Jews were under the curse. They were under condemnation. The unchangeable law of the Medes and Persians. Look at verse 8 up there. It says there that Haman said unto the king, there's a certain people scattered abroad, dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. Their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. They're not worthy of anything but to be put to death. They're diverse from the king. They don't keep the king's law. Let's kill them all. The king said, okay. It's done. And he signed the creed, the law. And it's not going to be changed. You ever heard the old saying, according to the laws of the Medes and Persians? It can't be changed. And this is a picture of God's law against guilty man, against guilty sinners such as we. Guilty, diverse to the king. Don't keep his law by nature. And there's a day of judgment approaching. Verse 14, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people. They ready against that day, prepare to meet thy God. You're going to die. All we have sinned. All have sinned and come short of His glory. The judgment punishment for sin is death, and after that, the judgment. The day is coming under the wrath and judgment of God. Well, Mordecai heard this. He heard the law. Mordecai heard the sentence against himself. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. I hope someone's with me. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, that is, this unchangeable law written to kill the Jews, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth of ashes, went out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter cry, "Woe is me, I'm undone, and I dwell in the midst of a people." We're under the curse. We're sentenced to die. What are we going to do? Mordecai had one hope. But it was a good one. He had friends in high, high places. Only one hope for Mordecai. Hadassah. So Mordecai appealed to her. Look down at verse 8. He gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she go into the king to make supplication unto him, make requests for him and for her people. Oh, Hadassah, oh, Esther, we're sentenced to die. Would you go into the king and make requests on our behalf for mercy? And this is a picture of every sinner. When they hear the word of God, when the commandment came, we died. We realize our doom, but with that judgment, with that sentence comes hope. And we realize we have hope. And it's a good hope. And it's in a person, Jesus Christ. And we call on Him, the mediator for sinners, to plead our case. All right, look at verses 11 and 12 now. Esther tells Mordecai the king's requirements. If she's going to go in to see the king, this is what's going to happen. If she's going to be received and heard. Verses 11 and 12. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know. Now this is Esther speaking. That whosoever, whether man or woman, everybody ought to know this. That whosoever comes into the king, the inner court, is not called. You got to be called to come in. Read on. If you're not called, there's one law of the king to put him to death. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. Now, you just can't run into the Ahasuerus. You got to be called. And even then, when you come in, he's got to hold out that golden scepter for you to be accepted. You understand that, Mordecai? Look, everybody ought to know that. Everybody doesn't, Joe. Neither. Mordecai did. He found out. Esther told him. And so do you, Joe. So do you. Look at verse 12. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. Have you heard Christ's word? This is His word. It's not given unto them, but unto you it's given. And you've received it as the very word of God. When we hear the gospel, the first thing we hear of is God's holiness. We hear of God's justice. He said that. I'm a God of love. First thing he says, I'm a just God. This world hadn't heard that, people. Are you a Mordecai? Have you heard who God is and what God's like? That He's holy, that He's just, that you can't come unless you call. And even if when you come, He's got to hold out that golden scepter. What's that? It's, don't you remember Sunday morning's message? Psalm 45, the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. For the Lord loveth righteousness. and judgment, a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness. It's the scepter of righteousness. God's got to impute it to you. God's got to give it to you. You got to be righteous to come in before Him. And He's got to call you to do it. You remember reading Romans 8? You know why I read Romans 8? And when we hear the gospel, that's what we hear. We hear of God's holiness, God's sovereignty, God's justice, God's righteous scepter. Only one way of acceptance. If God accepts us in the Beloved. Christ is the only one. He's the only one that can go in on our behalf. And if God accepts Him, our great High Priest, then we are accepted in Him. Well, Mordecai pleads with Esther to go in for him and her people. Look at verse 14. He says, if you hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. If you don't go in, you're going to be destroyed. You'll not be known. Who knoweth? Who knows, Esther, whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this? I don't know, Esther, but I think maybe that's why you're sitting on the throne right now, to save Jews like me. Mordecai didn't know it, but he's a prophet. He was a prophet. Perhaps you're where you are for this hour. And that's what Christ said. He said, for this cause came I into this world. For this cause came I unto this hour, the hour of my death. Why did He come? Christ, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Old Mordecai. Well, Esther tells him the good news. She tells him the good news, that she'll go into the king for her people. Verses 16 and 17. Esther made them return to Mordecai. Verse 15. Esther made them return Mordecai this answer. Joe, after she told him about the holiness of the king and the righteousness of the king and how he just, not anybody can come in at all. Now she tells him the good news that she'll go in. Verses 16 and 17. Gather together all the Jews, not just Mordecai, but everybody that needs me to go in for them. All the Jews, gather them together that are present in Shushan. Fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink, 3 days, nights or day. Why 3 days, I wonder? I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Even so, Christ said, you remember over in the book of John we've been studying, He said, whither I go, you cannot come. Remember that? He said, but I go to prepare a place for you. To prepare a place for you. If I perish, and He did, He died. I perish. But you'll never perish. But remember when they came for Him in the garden, He says, if you seek me, let them go. So Christ went to Calvary's cross. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. He was made a curse for us under the law. Born of a woman, made under the law, made a curse. He shed His blood for the remission of our sins. He died that we might live. He died that we might live. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. Now, it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal robe. When I read this in the study, on the third day, after 3 days were up, She put on her royal apparel and stood, look at this, in the inner court of the king's house. Over against the king's house. And the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. You see how it keeps to the royal, 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 majesty, majesty. Verse 2, and it was so. She came in. And when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Just laid hold on that scepter like she belonged there. Like she was worthy. Like she just knew the king would accept her. And on the third day, Christ rose from the grave, put on his royal apparel, put back on his robe of deity, and stood in the inner court, the very holy of holies for me. And Christ, our daysman, laid his very hand on God himself and his hand on us. And look at verse 3. And the king said unto her, what do you want? Queen Esther, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Ask of me, and I'll give it unto thee, unto the half of the kingdom. And that's what God said to my Christ, my representative. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen that I inherit. Not the half, but the whole. I'll make you Lord. I'll give you all your requests. Ask, and I'll give it unto you. Well, back to old Haman. Old Haman, look at verse 14. He thought evil against these Jews. Verse 14 of chapter 5. Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends said unto him, make a gallows. Haman, let a gallows or a hanging tree be made of 50 cubits high. You ever heard the old saying, as high as Haman's gallows? Hang them high as Haman. Let a gallows be made as high as 50 cubits. Tomorrow speak unto the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Satan thought to destroy God and man by that man whom God created, Adam, didn't he? And he thought he did. He thought he destroyed God when he did mischief to Adam, plunged him into sin. And once again, when he hung somebody on a tree, he thought, I've destroyed God. I've hung his son on a tree now, but Satan was the one going to be hung and all live. Look at chapter 6, over there. Chapter 6. Now, I'm going to make a long story short. Mordecai was loyal to the king, and the king rewarded him. The first three verses talks about how the king found out how that Mordecai hated the king's enemies and revealed a plot to kill the king. And so the king thought to do Mordecai a great honor and exalt him to the place of a prince. All right, look at now, beginning with verse 4. Here's the king's purpose to exalt this one. The king said, who was in the court? Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house. He was a sneaky fellow. He was listening in on. Sounds like the book of Job, doesn't it? He was listening in to the king. He came into the outer court to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai. That was his purpose, to come in to tell the king about his wanting to hang Mordecai. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman stands in the court. The king said, let him come in. So Haman came in. The king said unto him, what shall be done? Now the king spoke first. And the king said unto Haman, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought, look at verse 6, Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to me myself? He must be talking about me. So he said, verse 8, I tell you what, let's do. King, let royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal set it on his head. Let this apparel and horse be delivered in the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor. Bring him on horseback through the city, street of the city. Proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, take the apparel and the horse, as I said, do it to Mordecai. That sitteth at the king's gate. And Haman... it killed him. It killed him. Ah, my God has purposed to exalt us, whom Satan has purposed to kill. And we who at one time were even his captives, held captives at his will, someday Satan himself will serve. Yeah, he does even now. Serves God's purpose concerning us. Yes, he does. God's people, those sinners, are served by even devils. And God has purposed to exalt us, and that by Christ. Well, look at Esther's request to the king. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. And I'm about to wind it up. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. What is thy request? It shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my request, and my people at my request. Esther's request was that her life and the life of her people be spared. And Christ, unlike Esther's request here, Christ laid down his life for the sheep. He died that we might live. But yet his request is the same. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That they live before you. Let them live. I'll die that they might live. Well, she uncovered Haman's plot. Look at verse 6. Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. Verses 8 through 10. So the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Evidently, he was pleading for mercy, and he fell on the queen's bed. The king walked out of the room, and when he came back in, there Haman was on the queen's bed. And here's what the king thought. You're going to force my queen right in front of me? Look at verse 10. Then said the king, will he force the queen before me in the house? As the word out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And the harbinger and one of the chamberlains said before the king, behold, there's a gallows out there that he made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king. It stands in the house of Haman. The king said, hang him on it. Hang him. So they hung Haman on the gallows he prepared for Mordecai. And the king's wrath was pacified. The man which Satan thought to destroy God with was the means God used to destroy Satan. The woman's seed. The woman's seed crushed the serpent's head. Well, you know, this was prophesied. I didn't have time to read it, but verse 13 of chapter 6. Look back there real quick. It said this over in the last part of verse 13, chapter 6. Haman's family said, if Mordecai, look at the middle part there, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against them. Him, you'll surely fall. And you're going to read sometime Isaiah 14 at your own leisure. Maybe when you get home or sometime this week, you jot that down, Isaiah 14, and you'll be amazed at the picture there. Oh, how I've seen thee fallen, Lucifer, son of the morning. Well, the king, chapter 8, verse 1, his wrath is pacified. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman the Jew's enemy unto Esther the queen. He gave all to Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king because Esther told what he was to her. Do you see the picture? The king gave Esther everything. Everything that had been taken from her by Haman. And even gave it to Mordecai. Mordecai was a joint heir because Esther said, he's related to me. You accept me, accept him too in me. And that's Christ. See, Christ, God has given Christ all, made him Lord over all. He's the heir of all. And he hath recovered all we lost in our father Adam. And we're joint heirs with him. And we're accepted in the beloved. But you know something? The law of the Medes and Persians still stands. Something's got to be done about this law. Here in chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, after he talked about the law, king's commandment cannot be reversed. Jews got to die. Rebecca, they've got to die. King wrote it in his own hand. They've got to die. What are they going to do? King's not going to reverse his law.
Somebody's going to have to face the law for them.
Who do you reckon that someone is?
Esther herself. And she was a Jew.
She was a Jew. Look at it. Verses 7 and 8. The king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I've given Esther the house of Haman, and him they've hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand on the Jew. Esther, you write for the Jews as it liketh you. Now I've written the law. Now you write something. Now, I've written the law. Now, you write something. Something good. To tell them how they're going to be spared. It's in your hands now. And he said, look at this. Whatever you write, as it liketh you, becoming to you, whatever pleases you, in the king's name, the king will seal it with his current ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Whatever you write, Esther, I'll seal it. And it'll be just as sure as the law. It'll not be reversed. Whatever you want to write. So that's Christ. Christ was given the law. You see, the law came by Moses, but what? Christ wrote another book, an addition to the book, grace, a new covenant, New Testament, grace and truth. The gospel came by Jesus Christ, the gospel. Ah, my. And Christ wrote it, that whosoever comes to God by me will be saved, will stand. Verse 11. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, gather themselves together and stand for their life.
to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the power of the people and province, everything that would assault them. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Esther has made thee free. Stand fast. And they were given armor. They were given weapons to defend themselves against this assault. And the Scripture says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Take on to you the whole armor of God. What's that? Nothing less than the gospel will do. Stand. And on, if you want to read the whole book at your own leisure, it keeps telling them to gather together. Gather together now. Gather together. Gather together. Stand together against that day. Be ready against that day. The day's coming. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Exhort one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, Mordecai was exalted to be a prince. Verse 15, it says that Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, blue and white, and a great crown, a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. All the king's enemies, the Jews' enemies were defeated, and Mordecai was exalted to the place of a prince, and it was so pleasing to the people, and the people, and fear came on the people, gladness and joy and honor. And in other places, verse 17, the last line of verse 17, many of the people of the land who were not Jews became Jews because of what the king did for Mordecai. That's what I want, what you did for Mordecai. And they were all saved, every one of them. Every one of them. You'll read chapter 9 for yourself. It says that hordes of men came after them, and not one Jew perished. Not one, Henry. It says that in one day, I think it was 75,000. Where is it? Can't find it. One day, it was something like 75,000. Thousand died, but not one Jew perished. Not one. Helpless, strengthless, without hope, without strength, little old Jews, not prepared for.
Not one.
Not one. Why? Look at verse 22. Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Haggite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, cast out Pur, that is, the lot, to consume them, to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return on his own head, that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Why were the people spared? Why did the people not die? Because Esther came and appeared before the king for them. And we are all safe. Yea, we have been delivered, are being delivered, and I trust that he will yet deliver us. Why?
Now, do you know why I read Romans 8? Who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifies. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Christ came.
They were spared because Esther came and appeared before the king. And we're spared because Christ came. And it says here, look at, you've got to read this, people. You can't let this go, okay? Look at verse 30. The king sent letters unto all the Jews, words for them to read. 127 prophets, everybody throughout his kingdom, the king sent words of peace and truth. Esther doesn't belong in the Bible.
It deserves the topmost stone.